Turn your Bibles. We're going to start off in Mark chapter 5. Our main passage is going to be in Luke 13, but the longest passage we're going to look at is in Mark 5. And we're looking at a life straightened out. As you turn your Bibles there, it seems a farm boy accidentally overturned his wagon load of corn. The farmer who lived nearby heard the noise. "Hey, Willis," the farmer yelled, "forget your troubles. Come in with us. Then I'll help you get the wagon up." "That's mighty nice of you," Willis answered, "but I don't think Pa would like me to." "Ah, come on," the farmer insisted. "Well, okay," the boy finally agreed and added, "but Pa won't like it." After a hearty dinner, Willis thanked his host. "I feel a lot better now, but I know Pa is going to be real upset." "Oh, don't be foolish," the neighbor said with a smile. "By the way, where is Pa?" Willis looked at him. He said, "He's under the wagon." Amen. So last time we were together, we started looking at this message of a life straightened out. And we looked at a lady whose life was bent, her life was twisted, her life was completely out of sorts. And as we saw, she was both physically and spiritually broken. Amen. She was held captive by a satanic demon. And yes, demon possession is real. Matthew chapter 12, verse 22. "Then one was brought to Jesus who was demon possessed, blind and mute. And Jesus healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw." Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 1. "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met Jesus out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." He had a demon. "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and he worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' For Jesus said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Then Jesus asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Also he begged Jesus earnestly that Jesus would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine, that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirits went out of him and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea, and it drowned in the sea." So we see many, many examples in the Bible about demon possession. The Bible calls them unclean spirits, demons, fallen angels. They're all the same thing. The Bible tells us that when Satan rebelled against God, that he deceived one-third of all the angels that were created, and they chose to follow him. They are fallen angels. They are demons. They are the unclean spirits that we read about in the Bible. And this morning, we're looking at this one particular lady. Let's take a closer look at this broken lady that we're going to read about here in Luke chapter 13. Skip down to verse 10. Luke 13, starting at verse 10. "Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. And he said to her, 'Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity.' And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore come and be healed on them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord then answered him and said, "Hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, shouldn't she be loosed from bond on the Sabbath?" And when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. The first thing I want us to notice is her condition. As we read here in verse 11, it says she has an infirmity. An infirmity is a physical, mental, or moral weakness, according to Webster's Dictionary. Now, the Bible gives us a little more information about this lady and tells us it's not just an infirmity, but she has a spirit of infirmity. That tells us that whatever her condition was, her infirmity was caused by a spirit. Bottom line, the Bible wants us to know that she was possessed by an evil spirit and it was causing her great harm. Now, when we skip down to verse 16, we kind of get a little more information. Jesus said that whom Satan has bound, speaking of this woman, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. So we see here that Satan controlled her life. One of his minions, one of his demons, one of his fallen angels had taken possession of her, and now Satan controlled her life. And he twisted it, and he warped it, and he tied it into knots. The Bible tells us that she was bent over, and she could not see where she was going in that bent over condition. And what we need to glean from that, the spiritual message that we need to take from this passage, is that this woman is a perfect picture of all mankind that is apart from Jesus Christ. It's a perfect picture of all of us before we were saved. Anyone unsaved is a perfect image of this lady. We wander aimlessly through life, up the blind alley of alcoholism, down the blind alley of drug abuse, up the blind alley of broken relationships. She's a perfect picture of all of us apart from Jesus Christ. Verse 11 also tells us that she could in no way raise herself up. She was helpless and she was hopeless in this spiritual condition. And she desperately searched the world over to help her. No doubt she must have tried everything that this world has to offer. Let's consider the different options this world offers us when we get into trouble. Well, no doubt, like the rest of us, she probably turned to medication to try to help her. But remember, the Bible tells us that she had a spirit of infirmity. There was no magic pill for a spirit of infirmity. Amen? There is no magic pill for a spiritual condition. What we need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's the only cure for a spiritual infirmity, for a spiritual condition. Next, no doubt this world, other than medication, can offer education. She could have educated herself to help her in her condition. But remember, once again, she had a spirit of infirmity. She could have earned more degrees than a thermometer, but she still would have been sick with her spiritual disease, no matter how much education she acquired. Amen? Next, we think the world offers us occupation. even if she would have accumulated billions and billions of dollars in wealth, all the money in the world cannot cure a spiritual disease. Amen? And this desperate lady probably tried every single thing that this world had to offer. But the Bible tells us in verse 11 that she could in no way raise herself up. Why? Because her condition was spiritual, it wasn't physical. Amen? It was a spiritual condition, not physical. And this world can offer us a band-aid to help us, but we will never find a cure for our spiritual needs apart from Jesus Christ. We don't need medication. We don't need education. We don't need an occupation. What we need is salvation. Amen? We need Christ. We need the great physician to cure our spiritual disease. Second thing I want us to notice her location. Look at verse 10. It says, now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. What does this tell us? This tells us that she was in church. Now look, I understand that the Bible makes it clear that this was a Jewish synagogue. But do you know what it takes to turn a synagogue into a church? It takes one thing, and that is simply for Jesus Christ to be there. Amen? And the Bible tells us he was there on that day. Praise God. And Jesus was there. And this lady had searched the world over to help fix her life. But everything the world offered failed every single time. She was still left with a life that was all twisted up. A life that was bent out of shape. But as we read, as we said, this particular day, she decided to go to church. Amen. She decided to go to church. And look what happened. Verse 12. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, woman, you are loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. Praise God. There at church, she met Jesus Christ, and he immediately straightened out her life. Now we need to understand that this is the purpose of this and every church that stands on the foundation of the Word of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the purpose of the church. It's to be a haven. This church and every other church is to be a sanctuary for those that are broken, for those whose lives that are all mixed up, for those who are at wit's end. This is to be a sanctuary for them to come and meet Jesus and let him straighten things out. We need to understand that when we get all, our lives get all twisted up, we are no different from this lady. She could in no way raise herself up, and we can in no way on our own straighten things out in our life. Now, I realize that a person can meet Jesus Christ anywhere. Amen? That's one of the great things about Christ. You can meet Jesus no matter where you are. But think about church. At church, people have so much more going for them. You know, we start out our church service with songs and hymns that praise Christ, and they speak to our hearts. Then we have believers that share their testimony and share what God has done for them. And that encourage and that generates faith. And it requires faith to find Christ, doesn't it? The Bible tells us. And then at church, you have a pastor that comes and preaches the word. Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? Hearing by the word of God. So we need faith to come to Christ, and we get that faith through hearing the word of God. And after the word is preached, the pastor offers an invitation. And while the invitation goes out, all the other believers are praying for that one that doesn't know Christ. And the Holy Spirit is also at work, drawing those hearts to come to Christ. At church, the lost have so much more going for them than left into the world. If your children's lives are broken, bring them to church. If your friends' lives are in shambles, bring them to church. If your co-workers' lives are all mixed up, bring them to church. And if you are here today and your life is messed up, you're in the right place with the rest of us. Amen. Listen, we can look at each other and think, boy, they have their life all lined up. No, we don't. Everybody has problems. We all have issues. Amen? And if you're here today and your life is mixed up, you're in the right place with the right people. Simply need to come and meet Christ while you're here this morning. There is no limit to God's grace. No one is too far gone. No one is too far lost. There is no life that is too messed up that God cannot reach. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter how long you've been there. All that matters is that you are here today. And Christ is here also in this place. For this lady, the Bible tells us it was 18 years that Satan controlled her life. For some, it's even longer. All that matters is that you are here today and Jesus is here with his arms open wide. Next thing I want us to notice, we saw where she was. Now I want you to notice her decision. She came with a life all messed up, and she left with it straightened out. Why? Because Jesus was there. She met the great physician in church. Look at verse 12. I want you to catch something here. It says, but when Jesus saw her, think about the conditions that Jesus would speak in. Everywhere that Jesus went, massive crowds would gather. It didn't matter if he was outside on the hillside, in a boat pushed off the shore, or in a synagogue. Crowds and multitudes would gather. And when he was in the synagogue, most had trouble getting into where he was speaking. They had to stand and surround and try to listen through the windows. But on this day, the Bible tells us that Jesus, he looked past all the doctors. He looked past all the lawyers. He looked past the rich, the religious, and the healthy. He looked past every single one until he fixed his eyes on that one lady. Now, I believe with all my heart that if you are here today and your heart is bound down with care, Jesus has already fixed his eyes on you. And Jesus saw her in her bent over condition, saw her in her broken spiritual condition. The Bible says he called out to her. He called out to her to come unto him. Friends, that's the same invitation that goes out from the pulpit of this church every message. And she had a decision to make. And it's the same decision that we all have to make about Jesus Christ. Think about that. We either come or we don't come. We either obey Christ and we come unto Him, or we simply ignore Him and we stay right where we are in our current condition. And no doubt that day in that church, Satan was there whispering in her ear, giving her every excuse, the same excuses that he whispers into our ear for us not to come to Christ. You're not worthy, or you know you shouldn't come, or look at your past, look at all the things that you've done. You shouldn't even be in church. The same things that Satan whispers into our ears. But praise God, this woman was tired of living her life in the same way she had been living it for the last 18 years, all messed up, all twisted up, controlled by Satan. She was tired of all her struggles. She was tired of her loneliness. She was tired of all the anxiety and the emptiness. So she stepped out and she went to Christ. And when she did, she didn't worry about what anybody else thought. Amen. She didn't care what her friends thought of her. She didn't care what anybody else thought. All she knew was that she needed to get to Christ. Amen. Verse 12. When Jesus saw her, he called to her. Called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And then what did he do? It says he laid his hands on her. And immediately she was made straight. Think about those beautiful hands of Jesus Christ. The hands that hung the stars, the moon, and the sun. Hung every planet in its place. The hands that formed man from the dust of the earth. The hands that touched the blind eyes and they saw. They touched the lame and they walked. They touched the deaf and they heard. They touched the leper and they were cleaned. The hands that touched the grave and the dead would walk out. Think about those beautiful hands. They were also the very hands that were nailed to that old rugged cross as his blood ran down. Those are the hands that were folded across his chest as he was placed in that borrowed tomb. Those were the hands that took that shroud from off his face and neatly folded that napkin and laid it into place. Those were the same hands that removed that massive stone from in front of his grave. Not so he could get out, but so others could get in and see that it was empty. Those were the hands that turned dark Calvary into an Easter celebration. Amen. Those precious hands. And friend, those are the same precious hands that reached out and touched the twisted and bent life of this lady and straightened it out. And made her whole once again. And it's those same beautiful hands that can reach out and touch your life and touch my life just as he did hers. And straighten out everything that's wrong. Amen.